good morning, and away we go on this Thursday, September the 12th, 2019. 14 coming up on 15 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into The Early Show. Scott Spears along with you for the ride, and we have got a great guest for the two-hour program today. I'm going to tell you about in just a second. Do want to give you a little programming note that coming up tomorrow, as I've been saying all week, we have a very special guest who's never been on this show before. From 9:30 to 10 o'clock tomorrow via telephone. I'll give you that little hint. The person does not live in Marion, but it'll be a guest. It'll be a live interview that you will not want to miss tomorrow morning, Friday morning, between 9:30 and 10 o'clock. Never been on the show before. Also want to remind you that the Charlie Evers Show will follow this show this morning from 10 a.m. until 12 noon, and A Progressive Life with Glenn Coble will be on live today from 12 to 1 p.m. And if you have won any prizes, tickets to the zoo, the wilds, an oil change, you can pick those up Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from 8 a.m. until 1 p.m. Just come in with your name, and we will give you the prize. And now we turn to our guest today. We're so glad when he comes in and joins us. And a lot of stuff to talk about with everything going on in Marion and a big move that happened for him in his office just this past Monday, I think, officially. The sheriff of Marion County, Tim Bailey. Sheriff Bailey, how are you?
Good. Good morning, Scott. Good morning to your listeners, and thanks for having me.
Good to see you. This must be a big week, as Monday was the official move, but when did the move actually start?
So the building, we moved our offices off of Williamsport Road down to Executive Drive, which is in front of the Ohio Health Hospital. It's the building with the white pillars and the pond out front with the fountain. And so the county bought the building last year, and we needed to do some construction in the building. We need to build out a couple of offices, cut some doors and so forth. So we've been waiting on that process to come about. And then the story goes like this. At the old sheriff's office on Williamsport Road, there is no heat. So we're facing moving in the winter, staying there in the winter, or moving now and moving in while they're doing the construction. So I've met consistently with the county commissioners on what's the best thing to do. So it was going to cost us between $5,000 and $10,000 to repair the system at Williamsport Road. So we decided to move in, and it became a matter of probably the last 2 weeks of packing. We've actually been cleaning files and throwing things away that we don't need. And over the last 2 weeks, it became an intense move, and packed up, and we actually moved in and started business on Monday.
I want to talk a little bit about this, because some people don't get the Marion Star anymore, and some of these stories just aren't on the internet. Well, let's start with this. When or about was the sheriff's office on Williamsport Road constructed?
It was constructed in the, well, it opened in 1968. Sheriff Obenauer was the sheriff at the time, and he was located in the sheriff's office and jail underneath the State Street overpass there on State Street. That jail was built in 1879, and he and his wife, she was the matron, she was the cook, and so that building was there almost 90 years. So this building was opened in 1968, and unfortunately, due to court decisions and prisoner rights and so forth, within about 5 years of that building being opened, it was outdated. So for the past 45 years, we have been dealing with issues trying to make sure we have protecting inmate rights, medical care being a number one issue, and those kind of things. When the jail moved out in 1999, we built a new jail, and the staff moved down there. Then the sheriff's office, while it continued to grow, was growing internally. In fact, one of my majors was working in a closet, literally a closet. The detectives were working in the kitchen of the former jail. So, you know, I subscribe to and understand the taxpayers do more with less. I mean, we are trying to do our best with the taxpayers' dollars, but you can only squeeze so much into a place, and it was becoming counterproductive.
You know, it's interesting. 51 years this year, I guess the old sheriff's office would have been open. What were the mistakes, obviously, that were made somewhere along the line that because 51 years is a fairly new building, that made it such a hazardous place to be?
So back then, it was really a new design. It was a linear design in the jail, in the inmate section, where the cells were in a row. There were seven cells in four rows. And so it became impossible to see in the cell to see if an inmate was okay or if there was something going on in there. So it was a prototype at the time. It was modern. It was believed to be, you know, the latest, greatest thing. But I don't know if you remember or heard of the riots at the Attica prison in upstate New York. And this kind of followed through with the 60s, which was kind of an anti-government era. And then when prisoners started rioting over things like food and health care and so forth. So following that, there were some court decisions that the Constitution does protect inmate rights. These people are innocent until they're proven guilty. And so we have to honor that. So subsequently, you know, we had to provide health care. These inmates are just like children. You have to feed them, you have to clothe them, you have to medicate them, you have to take care of them just as though they were your children. So we weren't quite prepared for that, so we had to build out places for medical care, hire a doctor and nurse, and we ended up having an accredited medical facility. But then you have your investigative unit working in a room that is about 6 by 8, which is smaller than the inmates had for their cells. And so as time passed and more calls and more need for policing, we were growing inward instead of outward.
You know, it's interesting when you say that, and not picking on the 60s here, but we had Fair Park School here in Marion, which was built in the 60s. And that's a fairly new institution. But if you ever went to Fair Park School in the 60s, they were trying this innovative thing where they would put skylights in instead of regular lights. And the hallways were a little more narrow to give more rooms to the classrooms. Well, when Marion City Schools got that big grant, even though the building was fairly new, built in the 60s, it had to go, and I don't know if a lot of people know this, because the lighting was so poor in the building and the hallways were too small for wheelchairs.
Mm-hmm.
So it was one of those innovative things at the time that didn't turn out very well.
So funny you mentioned that school, because my wife is the principal of that school today. But you know, one of the things they did wanted to do was to have neighborhood schools. And that's a great idea. Your kids could just walk down the street, go to school, and so forth. But now we're a mobile society. Kids don't walk to school anymore. And so what you have are these neighborhood schools where you have line after line of cars trying to get into the school. And it becomes a problem for the people that live in the neighborhood, as well as the administration trying to deal with all of these people coming in at 8 o'clock in the morning and 4 in the afternoon. You trade one problem for another one.
Well, when we were describing the old sheriff's office, it had no heat?
Well, it has two boilers out there. And the system was upgraded in 2007, and it's been a problem ever since. So without getting into all the details, I'll be glad to go to the details, but one of the problems was all of the toilets, there are like 56 toilets that were in the building, all went to the basement to a large tank where it was pumped back up to ground level out to the sewer. Excuse me. And so, as you can imagine, over 50 years, this thing rusted. And so you had human waste on the floor, plus the basement flooded just naturally. It was a problem. So we did have heat. We had air conditioning, and you know, I heard one person complain that, you know, I don't have air conditioning in my house. I roll up the windows. It's 80 degrees outside. I'm okay. I live with that, and I understand that. But my office staff, these people that came in and took on this job, did not plan on sitting there in 80 degree temperature, and the building has no windows, which is a huge problem. So on those days that the air would go out, the deputy could get in the car and go out and ride around in an air-conditioned car and patrol. And I could leave the building and go somewhere, but they could not. The office staff had to stay there. And then they had to endure this horrendous odor that came up out of the basement. And people actually came in from the public. People would come in and they would like, wow, it doesn't smell in here today. And it was offensive. And for me as the sheriff, it was embarrassing to have the public come in and be subjected to that.
Now, I know one of the big problems I remember given early on when first talk came of moving the sheriff's office was the damaging of evidence from the past. Yes. Tell the audience about that.
So our job is to collect information and evidence. So the physical evidence that we collect can be, and I'll use the DNA example. And so in one particular, and the evidence was held in the basement. There was a room down there. And in one particular case we had a burglary, and we believe the suspect broke a window, probably cut their arm or something, but there was blood everywhere. So we were able to go in and collect the blood and preserve it for a DNA profile. So we took it back to the sheriff's office, put it in the basement in the evidence room, at which point over the weekend we had a huge rain and the basement flooded and it got into the box with the DNA. So that DNA was destroyed and that case was then gone. There was no chance of solving that case based on a profile. So and this has been probably, I'd say, when I took over as sheriff, probably 15 years ago, we moved the evidence out of the basement and we put it in the jail cells. So if you've ever been out to the sheriff's office, the east wing has 28 individual cells, and those became the evidence room. So we were able to get the things out of the basement, but it was not the best and evidence room management.
You know, a lot of people, I think, were confused. When the jail was built in 99, you say, the new jail?
Yes, it opened in 99. Built in the 97, 98 era.
Now, who goes to the jail, and how many facilities are there in there for inmates? How many does it hold?
Right. So the original facility was built with 140 beds. It's what's called a multi-county facility. Marion County is in partnership with Hardin County, and it's managed by a board, which is the sheriff of the two counties and a county commissioner of each county. So there are four people, of which I sit on this board, and it had 140 beds. Who goes to jail? The jail is for the purpose of ensuring that someone will appear in court. You can give someone a citation out on the street and let them go on their way because you believe they're going to show up in court. For those that are facing a more serious crime, they may end up in jail if we don't believe that they're going to show up in court. So the 140 beds were filled pretty quickly. And then over the last 10 years, we've added 60 beds. So there are 202 beds at the facility. And right now, today, there are probably 40 prisoners being housed at other sheriff's offices around the state. So we have 240, quick math here, 240-some people that are incarcerated in Marion County. And this is a huge, huge problem. One of the problems, side off of this, is that in the municipal court, Judge Ballinger She has, if she sentenced someone to jail, it's typically a misdemeanor. There's no place to put them. So she has a large backlog of probably 100 people that are waiting to serve their time in jail that they can't get into jail. So this is an issue that we're struggling with right now. Do we add on to the jail? Do we add a wing? If we add a wing, does Hardin County, who is a partner, have to pay? Because they don't have the same needs that we do, being the larger county. So do we continue to rent beds at other sheriff's offices, or do we buy another facility? And so that's the latest.
Here we are, late summer, early fall of 2019. How many people from Marion are outside of Marion in prison now because the jail is too full, would you say? Just a rough number.
I'm not sure I understood the question. Marion County has 160 beds.
160 beds.
And Hardin County has 40 beds. So Marion County has 160 beds and 160 inmates, but we also have 40 inmates farmed out to other jails. So we're looking at 200 just from Marion County.
Now, when somebody is farmed out, is there any cost to that?
Yes.
There is a cost.
Yes. You are paying whatever the cost is for that local sheriff's office. For example, we're driving up to Bowling Green, to Wood County, and I think the per diem there is $65 a day per inmate. We're housing up in Bucyrus. I think it's $60 a day there. And we're also housing over in Morrow County and Mount Gilead at the sheriff's office there. And I think that, again, it's the $60, $65 range. I have to look at the contract, but there some of them are different. But you're looking at, you're looking at paying the other entity to house inmates that are ours.
And that's paid through the county money.
Paid through the county general fund.
That's general fund. Now, is there any particular reason that they have room in these other places and we don't?
Well, I can say that I've not done a study. I've not asked. There are 87 other sheriffs. And I've not asked for a study specifically. But I can tell you with a near certainty that probably of the 88 sheriffs, 80 are full, overflowing. There are very few. We have sheriffs on the Ohio River that are housing, are driving all the way up to Lake Erie to house prisoners. There are just no rooms at the inn. And while we're on this, back years ago when the sheriff's office was managing the jail on Williamsport Road, we housed prisoners for other entities. We had extra beds. In fact, we housed them for the U.S. Marshal Service. And it was a great arrangement. It worked for them. It worked for us. They would come from Columbus, pick up an inmate, take them to Jackson, Michigan. On 23, we're right on the route, and it worked out very well. And up to the point where the jail budget was wholly and completely subsidized by the federal inmates. So it was a $400,000 budget, and we took in $400,000. We ran it somewhat like a business. So I've been advocating. I was the co-chair of this jail commission that meets every month. Why can't we be in that same position? Why don't we add on a wing, put 100 beds there, and then house for all of these other agencies, all these other counties, and make money, and let the other entity subsidize our budget? I just can't get this off center. No one will join me in this argument. So.
Well, at $60 a day, this could be taken care of, I think, pretty quickly.
So we're going to pay roughly, based on a year, $700,000 to $800,000 to other counties to house 40 or 50 prisoners. So right now we're housing. Right now, yesterday the count was 40. Let's call them extra inmates that we don't have room for. So if you built a facility that, say, had 100 beds, you could rent 40, 50, 60 beds to these other places that will drive all the way across the state just because the court, you know, the court's committing them. I talked with one of the jail administrators last night, and she said that they had 15 people to put in jail yesterday. There were 15 people waiting that had been arrested to go to jail. So they called Bowling Green. They could take one. They called Bucyrus. They took one, and Mount Good could not take any. So she ended up, I mean, calling all around trying to find beds. I don't know exactly how that ended up, but there are no, no one wants to pay for prisoners. I get that. I understand that. But, you know, they want me to go out and arrest them. But that's only the beginning. That's not the end of the process. That's the beginning. So they need to be put someplace. Now, and we don't put everyone in jail. I don't want everyone to think that they all go to jail. We handle hundreds of cases where there are misdemeanors, and we give them a citation and tell them to go to court. But then when they get to the court, if they're habitual offenders, Judge Ballinger wants them held accountable. Put them in jail and let them serve their time, 10 days, whatever. There's no room there. So she's very frustrated, and it's problematic. I don't have an answer for her yet.
When the idea of this subsidization, building more cells and being able to add this to Marion, where does that get hung up at where it doesn't go any further?
County commissioners. The county commissioners... I think that in my conversation, I think they would be comfortable me saying that we have the money to build the extra wing or 100 beds. What becomes a problem is the operational cost, not the capital cost of putting a bed in, but hiring the staff, water, electric, and all that stuff. So the county has a $21, $22 million budget, of which you're going to spend another $2 million on this wing. That's 10% of the county budget. That's got to come from somewhere. So that's going to come from the sheriff's office, from the auditor's office, from the clerk's office. So they got to take it from somewhere, and it's a problem.
Mm. It's an interesting thing. When did you decide that you had to get out of the current sheriff's office? Well, who was still being housed in the sheriff's station before you moved?
No, there were no prisoners.
No prisoners in there.
There have been no prisoners on Williamsport Road at the sheriff's office since 1999. 20 years ago, they moved down the road.
So who reported there for work every day?
So the patrol, the deputies on patrol, and my administrative staff, my administrative assistant, my records clerk, the lady we handle sheriff sales, some of the civil side of the sheriff's office, she would report there. We do concealed carry license. We do fingerprints for people that are taking sensitive positions, teachers, nurses, et cetera. So we did that. Sex offenders have to come in and register frequently. And then our investigative unit, they reported there.
So how did the idea first come about to move to the building that you have now ended up in?
So... actually, when John Butterworth was the sheriff, and we were facing a federal lawsuit in the sheriff's office jail, primarily over the size of the cell, I think 8-foot cell, and that did not meet the law, did not meet the standards, and so a lawyer came in, talked to the inmates, they filed a federal lawsuit, and as a result, it was determined that we would build a new facility rather than retrofit the one we have. So the thought was to put the sheriff's office in that facility would have solved the problem. But when the county went to the side of making it a multi-county jail, then it became a jail. It was more important to make the jail and less of a sheriff's office. Continuing on with the size and the problem and the issues that go along with the building, it's you know, it's falling down, wastewater and so forth. So about 20 years ago, I tried to convince the commissioners to take over one of the state buildings that was abandoned here. And they didn't like the roof and heating system, so they chose not to do that. And so as we went on, getting to today, in the last 3 years, the building was, again, you had the odor of human waste there, which was extremely offensive and offensive to the public. So I went to the commissioner and I said, you're going to have to do something about this now. And so we hired an architect. And the architect drew up some shop drawings and plans, and we were going to put this out on Williamsport Road next to the jail, where the county owns 15 acres. The site was ready and all that. But the price tag of this was almost $8 million, which was a lot of money. So we left the plans on the table and went back and started talking about, we as in my staff and the Board of Commissioners, we visited a number of facilities. We talked with a number of realtors for many, many months trying to find a facility that would work. Not just an office building, because I've got guns and drugs and I've got things that I have to protect, records and so forth. So a realtor called me and said this building down on Delaware Avenue, Executive Drive, was available. We went down and looked at it and said, this is workable. This will be great. Mm.
Now, I remember early on when this came on the table, there was a little bit of hubbub about do they need that much space?
Yes.
Is this going to cost a certain amount of money? What did it end up costing?
So probably the number one question that I get asked is, do you need all of that space? Right. And that's certainly a fair question. So the space is 83,000 square feet. And it cost the county $1.2 million, which I think if you look at the numbers, that it was a bargain. That was great. So what's not generally understood is that my operation is parsed out into different locations. Again, the drug task force is down here behind City Hall. The dispatch center is in the county building. The road patrol and the investigation administrative offices on Williamsport Road, and I have no place to put more than 10 people for a training program. So the Marion Township trustees have been very gracious letting me use the Township Hall on Fairground Street. They have a large room, and that's working out. But it's a problem because I have to pack up everything and go down there. Or if I have a meeting with, I want to meet with 10 or 15 people, I've got to go around town and find a place. So 83,000 square feet certainly solved that problem, but far more than we needed. So Meta was the owner of the building. They didn't want to leave. They didn't want to be a landlord. They wanted to be a tenant. So they took up the northwest corner of the building on the second floor. At that time, the Marion City School Administration, the superintendent and his staff were looking for a more suitable location. So they entered into a lease with the county commissioners. So they have the other part of the second floor, and they also have a quarter of the first floor. So, and I can't tell you the lease agreement. I don't know the exact square footage or the price, but I know that it certainly helps to pay the Alat Creek and the water and the lawn and all that stuff. So the sheriff's office did not use and does not need 83,000 square feet. That is a correct assumption. So we have our administrative offices. We have our patrol. We have the lady that does the web checks and the fingerprints and sex offenders and all that. And we hope, and the drug task force is there. They moved in, Marmet. And so it's what we're working on right now is trying to get the dispatch center, the 911 center, out of the county building into this building. And then and I'll get into some of the construction issues that are going on, we will be able to utilize probably half of the building while we have tenants to the other half to help offset the cost. So it's a really good relationship.
So right now, just so everybody understands, the county now owns that building.
The county now owns the building. It's called the Justice Center at 100 Executive Drive.
But things like Meta and Marion City Schools, they are now paying some kind of rent lease agreement to the county.
That is correct, yes.
So there is an offset.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting to know. Now, what kind of construction issues have you run into?
So we are not housing prisoners there. That was the second question that I typically get. Are you going to put cells in there? Are you going to have prisoners? No, there are no prisoners, and there will be no prisoners in the normal sense. Now, if I have a case and I have a homicide and I have a suspect, we're going to take them down there to process them and interview them, but they are not housed there. But I do need some interview rooms. I have one office that's actually quite large. We're going to cut it up and divide it into two offices, cut a door. It's really a very, very small construction process, 3-4 offices and 3 doors kind of a thing. The problem is that the air conditioning system, which has a pipe, actually two pipes that run from one end of the building through the building around to the other side, has rusted. They have to be removed. So that's going to be an expense. And that is in my evidence room, the room I have set aside for evidence. So right now, and I don't want to confuse your listening audience, but roughly 90% of the operation for the sheriff's office is on Executive Drive. But if you have a piece of evidence that maybe we recovered, maybe your TV, we're still going to have to go out to Williamsport Road to retrieve that because the evidence is still there until we get this pipe fixed and this evidence room built out. So that, and that may be a couple months. But right now the sheriff's office, going back on this a little bit, I may have glossed over this, is that the heating system went out at the sheriff's office. So we are looking at facing waiting till November, December, maybe January to make this move when there's no heat, or move our facilities, move our staff down there now and work while they're doing the construction just a few feet away. So we chose to pack up everything, move it to Executive Drive, continue our operation. I think it better serves the public with the exception of this evidence issue, which is we're going to have to work through.
Now, once this evidence issue is worked through and all the evidence can be brought over there, hopefully within a couple months, what will happen to the old building on Williamsport Road in the land?
So no decision has been made on what's going to be done out there. We, in my conversations with the commissioners and others, we don't think there's really any value to it. Those jail cells were never meant to be cut out. They were meant to hold people in. And so when you go in there and you start taking acetylene and saws and so forth, trying to cut that out, it's very, very expensive. It's labor intensive. So probably the best thing to do is bulldoze that building down, demolish it. One of the things I have to do, or I continue to do, is if we arrest someone and we confiscate a car. For example, we were talking about a bank robbery earlier. We took the robber's car, so we have to have a place to put that. And it's out on Williamsport Road. So I'm proposing that we demolish the building, fence it in, and let's put in some of the large items like cars, lawnmowers, big ticket items that I have to store, and not put them down at the nice building down on Executive Drive in front of the hospital. I don't think my neighbors would like that, Doctors Park and so forth.
Now that you've been there and in the new building, what is the feeling of the people who moved with you?
So it's like Christmas for them. Again, we worked in a building that did not have any windows, and it was interesting. We'd go to work in the morning, and it would be sunny, and then you'd come out at 5 o'clock, and it would be doom and snow all over the ground, just one of the products of it. So this building, if you've ever driven by, is almost all windows. So the climate control is great. The lighting is great. They're very, very happy to be there. I just can't tell you how excited they are to move out of Williamsport Road down to Executive Drive. And it goes for overall, it's a better working environment. They're enthused. They're happy to be there. Morale's excellent.
What would you say to the people who may be listening or who may come to the new office and say, again, why do you need this great building? Why do you need all this space? You know, how much more is this costing taxpayers? So on and so forth.
So the county, so again, the problem with where we were at is that you can only grow inwardly so far. Then it becomes counterproductive. You can't, it's like, I mean, I think we all have a garage that's full, and it just keeps piling up. And eventually, you have to get rid of something. So, and that's what we were, where we were at. We're using kitchen for investigations. We're using closets as offices. So, eventually, it was push come to shove. Something was going to have to happen. I think this is the best deal. I think we got a great deal on the facility. We have tenants that share the cost. It's a better facility. I think that the citizens can be proud of. I think it's a repurposed of a building. I think it's a win all the way around.
Is there any rule of thumb to how long you have to keep evidence?
Yes, there is. Actually, so when you start talking about homicides and I think rape cases, you have to keep it forever. Others are simply after the case is disposed of, then you can return it or destroy it. We can't just go out and destroy it. I have to make a list, take it to the common pleas judge. He looks at it, and some things can be turned over to the county. Sometimes we'll get a box of tools, and we can't find the owner, so the judge will sign it over to the sheriff's office, and we use these tools, hammers, whatever the case may be. So what we can use, we do. What we can return to the owner, we do. But some of it... And we don't have a lot of homicides, a lot of rapes, fortunately. But we do have to keep those things, and you got to keep them, boxes start to fall apart after 25 years if it's not climate controlled. So we have a large evidence room, or will have a large evidence room, and it'll make it easier to catalog and take care of this property.
Now that this building issue has been, for the most part, more or less taken care of, what is the biggest problem facing the sheriff's department in general?
Well, this is a multi-answer question. So while Marion has not grown in census for, we're at 65,000 people, we have not grown. I think that's residents. I think what you see is Marion is growing, and there are people coming from other communities that work in Marion. They don't live in Marion, but they come. I go to businesses all day, and I see people from Morrow County, Delaware, Crawford, they come here to work. So our workload has increased tremendously. I have one more deputy than I had 10 years ago at the time when the recession came through. So I've been trying to convince the commissioners to give me some additional people for patrol investigations. We now have school resource officers in all the county schools except one. And so it costs money, and deputies don't come cheap. I'll be the first one to admit that. So they're a little bit reluctant to put money in that long-term process. So I would like to have some additional deputies. Going back to this prisoner issue where the prisoners are being held in other counties, someone's got to drive them there. They don't drive themselves to jail. So the onus is on the sheriff to drive these people to prison. I am not going to take deputies off patrol that are protecting the people in this community to drive prisoners around. So I'm trying to get the commissioners to give me a couple more people in a car. If they want me to move these prisoners, I absolutely will do that. That's typically part of the sheriff's job. But we haven't come to a conclusion on that yet.
When we come to the issue of prisoners and not having enough room and having to send people to other counties, something interesting happened, and I've seen it in press releases since the 2018 elections. We got two new judges in Marion County. And now at the bottom of some of the press releases, it says the prosecutor and the judges are now being tougher on crime, in essence, is what it says, sending people to jail.
Yes.
Have you found that to be the case?
Yes, absolutely. It's a different in mindset of the new two common pleas judges. And I'll even go back and include Judge Ballinger. She's not light on crime, but she has no place to put these people. Again, they're misdemeanors. But the two new common pleas judges have a new or a different philosophy that, you know, if you're eligible for probation or you're someone that we can rehab and move on, great. But don't come back after you've failed your probation rules and expect not to go to prison. They're going to jail, and then they're going to prison. So their idea is that, and you can, I heard him say this just yesterday, so their thinking is that we need to clean up this town, we need to get control of this, and we need to show that Marion is progressive, and we are trying to take hold of our crime part of this community so that businesses and people will want to come to Marion and move in here.
Do you think, with the other problem we were talking about, not having a lot of room, and also $600 a day?
$60 a day
to send a prisoner to another jail. Right. Is that the best thing to do?
Well, I think one of the problems we have, of course, is this drug issue. 40 years ago, when I was a detective, I said roughly 80% of the cases that I worked were drug or alcohol related. And I can say that, make that same statement today. Most of our cases are drug or alcohol related. The drug has changed. I never made a heroin arrest in the 70s. And if I made a cocaine arrest, it would be one or two a year. So now, you know, that's all changed. So, We have been consistent saying that the people that are addicted to these drugs, they have a problem and they probably should not be in jail. We need to get the pushers, the dealers that bring this stuff in from Chicago, Detroit, other cities, bring it in here. They're the ones that need to go to prison. Unfortunately, people that are addicted, it takes them seven times through rehab to be successful. And so if you ask them if they want to go through treatment, no, they will just say no and walk away. One of the problems that the state legislature put on our lap is in trying to solve this, where people that are addicted, we want to give them a second chance. I'm okay with that. But they say you can't arrest them the first two times. Okay, so we have someone that overdosed, we give them Narcan, we bring them back, we don't arrest them. But the problem with that is that's two times that we know of. What about the two times they overdose in Columbus, or they overdose in Kenton, and they overdose in Bucyrus, and they've done it 10 times? There is no central repository for the information that, you know, we've encountered this person. So law enforcement has encountered this person 10 times. They get two chances in Marion, two chances here, and two chances there. These people typically will not accept treatment unless we force them into it. So if we take them to jail, you wean them off at that point. They're forced into it. The other part of this is you commit a crime, you should be held accountable for it. If that means jail time, so be it. If it's a fine, so be it. People that speed and people that run stop signs, they get a ticket, they pay a fine, move on. We're not talking about those people. We're talking about pretty much habitual offenders. I was looking at the numbers here a couple of years ago, and crime was going down in Marion County with the exception of petty theft. And we have a huge problem out on 95 with the big box stores. They have full-time staff, I have two detectives that work out there full time for shoplifters, 600 a year. That's a large number. So do you just give them a fine? And they're the same people over and over and over. So sometime you got to send them to jail.
It's an interesting subject. Sheriff Tim Bailey is the guest this morning. He's going to stick with us for another hour. We've got to step out, though, for news and weather here. But lots more to talk about. And remember, the new sheriff station is now located on Executive Drive. A lot of people know it as the Meta Solutions building or the old Trekka building or the GTE building. It's been a lot of things over the years. And it's right there. You can see it from Delaware Avenue, right behind the big fountain there, near the Harding Memorial. So it's a great new thing here in Marion, and certainly gives, I think, a lot of prestige in most people's mind to the sheriff station as opposed to where it was before. We'll be back in about 10 minutes with Sheriff Tim Bailey. Stay tuned. The Ed Sullivan Show.
Oh, my God. Have you got 2 hours?
Oh, go ahead, please.
Right here in our show, it's a young comic from Las Vegas, Chucky. What is that? Let me tell you something. I have stuff.